It is warm, and there is air on in here. You can, hey, Scott, while you're going back there, make sure the air's on. How's that for professional? That's great. I don't see that. I think that thing's moving. Well, when that little thing's moving, we know the air is on. I saw some of you fanning. Girls are usually cold. Guys are like, isn't that why they created the dual things in a car? I think so. Well, it's so good to have you with us today. I sent Scott on an errand. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Yeah. Snap to it, Otis. Something else we're giving out if you're a guest today, and that, I forgot to bring it up, and that's why I sent Scott to do it. You know, the process of walking with the Lord, how many knows that's a process? Because you learn, and God, you know, you meditate, you do all these things with God, and he shows you things, and you're like, oh, this is sweet. I'm offering you this. It's free. I've got 25 of them right now, so if you're a guest, and if you're a regular attender, you let me know, and I'll get you one, okay? So I just ordered 25 right now to put up there. I would love to say, hey, they were gone. We had 25 new guests today. Anyway, Kingdom Thoughts. This is by our headship, Pastor Gary. Gary and Drenda Cassie out of New Albany, Johnstown area. It's just a great book. The whole reason for this, for me to give this to you, is because we want to change the culture. We want to change our mindsets. Most of us have grown up in Marion or surrounding areas, and you know, it was the factory town, it was this, it was that, it was whatever. But we need to have our mindset set on the kingdom, have our mindset set on God. So you can get a free t-shirt, you can also get one of these. There is no cost for that, and you'll enjoy that. I mean, it's basically, they've got a 30-day challenge in there if you want to take it. It's just something you could read every day. And the really small couple pages for a chapter to just get your mind on the kingdom of God, on your purpose for that. Well, did I say hello to everybody in our, they do that? Let's say hi. Hi. Amazing, man. We have people watching us from Florida and Texas, and somebody was watching us from New York and all different places. So we're thankful that you're with us today. We are in this is the second and last one of this. After we did the series 8 weeks of Walk It Out, we started this Nuts and Bolts for 2 weeks. I was telling the Dream Team, which was back in the Dream Corps meeting room there, I said, sometimes I'm preaching this, I've asked the Lord, like, God, I'm kind of like, you know, walking some of this out myself. It's not like I'm a master, I'm not the Yoda of all of everything. Yoda, I'm not. I'm not. But I am living it, and I have lived it. I do have fruit from it, and we are working through it. But I was telling them last week, I was teaching that, and I said, I worked at Cedar Point for 2 summers. So just so you know, push down, pull up in your safety bar, exit quickly to your right. Thanks for riding the blue streak, and enjoy the rest of your day here at Cedar Point. You've probably all heard stuff like that before. But, I mean, sometimes we would open up a queue line. You know what a queue line is? A queue line is another line for people to go through to get on the ride quicker. And I could open one up and there'd be 85 people standing in line here, and they're all looking at that. I opened it up and they're going. And I'd have to take somebody by the hand, come with me, and start them through. And the people would be like, oh, okay. And then everybody start filing through there. So last week I'm looking, I can see like lights over some people's heads, not literally, going, ding, okay, I'm kind of getting it. And then other people are like, wow. But can I just say, the longer I walk with God, he's so deep, I don't know everything, so I need him daily, and he reveals things that are like I have seen over and over again, and all of a sudden I see it differently. Does that make sense? And it all of a sudden you're like, okay, I can connect the dots a little bit and be like, how come this one I never could get from here to here? I'm trying to help you in these 2 weeks. This one will help put it together to connect your dots. Nuts and bolts, the power of the measure. Come on, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for a mindset for you. I thank you, God, that you are our creator. You have given us ideas and concepts, and today we are studying you. You are revealing to us by your Spirit ways to take more territory for the kingdom so that we can be just greater witnesses in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen. How many knows we need to be a witness in the world today? Just what's happening all around the world, we need people to stand up for Christ. So let me give you some review from last week. We talked about, if you're new here or this is your first time, we talked about, we're talking about sowing. So before, don't turn me off, before you think like he's just trying to, I'm showing you what the Bible says and what has worked for us because it is in the Word. And you can be like, I don't care. I don't want to do it. Don't do it. But it works. I'm just saying. So release what you need in the kingdom of God was number one. Speak over it. We talked about that as we release it. And we release it when we're in faith. We don't release it before. We wait when we're in faith. We get that word in us because it needs to take root. So we release it when we're in faith. If you're married, get in agreement with your spouse. If you're single, get in agreement with the word. In either case, you have to be in agreement with the word. So we release it that way. We follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit, and we act right away once he tells us and gives us the plan. So we're going to get this process moving today because this is going to a whole nother level. So how do I start? Luke 12:32 says this, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You got to stop right there for a second. Why is he saying that? Do not be afraid. Don't fear. Because he's about to tell us something that's different than what we're used to. He's about to tell us something that's kind of like, that's not what we've always done. We've been in church for over 30 years, and we went to one church, and the organ set here. That's where it sat. And there had to be organ music. How many know what I'm talking about? Had to be organ music. And, you know, this sat over here, the piano sat over here. If you wanted to put them together, that was not of God. Didn't understand that. But there's a story of one guy that, you know, he moved everything. The church was in an uproar. How dare you? Can't move the organ over there. It's against God's rule. Don't know where that's at in the word, but they were having a fit. So what he did is every week he moved the organ 1 inch. I don't know if they ever got suspicious when they finally saw it like this far. But it eventually made its way over to the other side, and they were used to it. We get our mind set on, hey, this is the way we've always done it. What if God told you to do it different? What if he said, I got a better idea for you? What if that way doesn't work anymore? You know, just because it worked back in the day, it might not work now. If the horse is dead, dismount and find another ride. I mean, if it's not working, God, what's working? So Jesus is saying, I'm going to share something with you. It's going to mess with you a little bit, but I want you to listen to me. I don't want you to get afraid. How many knows the enemy has a way to bring fear, but God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you one of power, love, and a sound mind. But the enemy wants to get you like, oh, I'm not used to this. We haven't done it this way before. I don't know. But what if God is behind it? It's like petting a cat backwards. Kind of weird. Of course, the cat probably likes it, but I don't know. But sometimes God says these things to us and we go, what? Because we're not used to hearing it. We're wanting this response. Have you ever told God, here's how you're going to respond? That's what I want you to say. It's like your kids coming up and asking, can I watch some TV? No.
I don't want you to say no.
Luke 12:33-34 says this. It says, sell what you have. Give alms, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. We usually quote the last part of that, where your treasure is, your heart will be also, but we get it mixed up. We'll say where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Your heart always follows your treasure. But this is what he's saying. He's saying this. He's saying give to the poor. And that's why he's saying don't be afraid. Brett, explain. In this world, that goes against common practice. The earth system is built upon hoarding. That's why we have those shows, hoarders. If you talk to people, great people, but they're like, oh, you don't want to see my garage. You can't even get to it. I have so much stuff in there. That's what my kids get when I go. You know, or whatever. I mean, it's just we have or you just can't throw anything away. You have anybody like that? What's that?
That's the envelope I got when I was four that I got from,
you know, and it, we just can't throw anything away. So it's different from the earth curse system. Because in the earth system, it's get all you can, put it in your can, sit on your can, and do nothing. Keep it. Guard it. So your confidence on the earth system is in money, not God. And Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. I'm going to give you the key. Just hang on. He's saying, sell your possessions. So let me just address some of this before we get like, oh my goodness, what's he telling us? We're not having a garage sale. We're not asking you all to participate and sell everything that you own. That's not what we're doing. Does God want you to have things? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. What scripture are we standing on? I'm just trying to get us down to where we're like, it's okay to have some stuff. It's okay. What he doesn't want is the stuff to have you. Are you with me? Because we're a steward of it. But the scripture we could talk about is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you look at the verses before, it's going to talk about what those things are, what we eat, what we wear, what all that stuff. It's going to be added to you, but you're going to put God first. Somebody say amen to that. We're going to put God first. Somebody say amen to that. God has got to be number one. And he is not against you having things, but if you were steward of it at any time, it's not your stuff. You're just taking care of it. I'm just over time, I'm whatever he wants me to do with it. There's things that I've seen my wife buy. I'm like, why did you buy that? She's not one of those persons, it's on sale, so I just had to buy it. That's not what she does. She brought home a big chandelier one time. I'm like, we don't need a chandelier. She said, I know. I'm like, well, then why is that a bright idea to buy a chandelier? She said, the Lord told me to buy it. If you're a smart husband, you're not going to say anything other than, okay. If your fry doesn't fill out your Happy Meal, you might say something that would not be good. But I said, okay. And let me tell you, in 3 weeks' time, somebody came to her and said, we've been believing God for a certain kind of chandelier. And guess what kind it was? It was the very one that she had. Is that not amazing? And you know what she said to him? Because she was steward over it. The Lord said, because isn't that how the kingdom? Jesus is trying to tell us something. You don't have to be afraid. The earth system is not the system he wants you to operate in. He wants you and he wants to train you to depend on him, not money and not the world. Let me explain. Let me give you an example. The manna evaporated at noon every day. Why? Because he was training them. They couldn't hoard it. They tried and it got, you know, nasty. It had maggots and everything in it if they tried to keep it. He was trying to tell them, you have to count on me every day. And on the sixth day, I want you to pick for 2 days. I mean, some of that is just like, in the natural, it doesn't make sense. I'm trying to tell you, he's going to give you ideas and concepts that will go against the earth system. Not illegal. Before you text me or write me, or he'll never have you do anything illegal, okay? And he won't bless if you're doing something illegal. Are we clear? All right. Because manna in the Old Testament wasn't their answer. He was their answer. That's what we have to understand. You have to pass the money test. Every one of us has to deal with money because that's what operates on this earth system, does it not? It is a bartering system. Whether you work, you get paid for the hours you put in, whatever that is. If you buy something, it's an exchange for the hours you worked, for the money they gave you to get whatever that is, yada, yada, yada. We have to pass the money test. We have to change allegiance. We don't bow to money. We don't bow to the earth system. We honor God. We love his system, and we follow that system. We give. By giving, you provide yourself a purse. The NIV and the NLT say it this way. Luke 12, 33 and 34, sell your possessions, give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Purses. It's interesting to me because men have wallets. Of course, back in the day, you could have a merce. I was not a merce kind of guy. I want a man purse. I want a merce. No. That's my own opinion. But men have wallets. Women have purses. What are our purses and wallets have in them? Now, purses could have about 185 million items in them. My wife, I mean, there's some people you could say, I need a piece of gum. It's already been chewed, but here. I mean, purses can hold a lot of things, but this is my point. Wallets or purses, they usually have your money card in there, your debit card, your credit card, your cash. So it is an access point for your estate. Say amen. Now, I'm not trying to hypnotize you. I'm just saying, do you understand that? You could have $1 million in the bank, but if you don't have your card or your identification, you can go up and tell them whoever you are. They're going to think you're Smiley Jenkins or something. They're going, I need proof. It is your access to get what you have stored, okay? I'm trying to make this as easy as I'm just like, Lord, that's good. So I like that. I can't access it without those things. I'd have to prove who I was. So we provide purses for ourselves when we give, and we know what happens. And I've taught you this. When you give, it does what? That's what we do when we receive offering. It changes kingdom. It changes jurisdiction. It changes governments. It changes allegiance because you have put it, you have taken it out of one system, and you are putting it in another. And I've given you example after example of that, and we may end up doing some of that again. But it actually gives heaven legality or jurisdiction now because you, as the overseer of those funds, as the steward, have put them in heaven's account, or you've put them in the kingdom. It provides an access point for you in the kingdom of God. And I need you to wrap your head around this, and it might take you you might have to listen to this a couple times and go, okay, I'm getting it. Because Kim and I, we still, you know, we've been practicing, and we've done it for years, and we've seen God do it over and over again. And sometimes we still need refreshers. So what happens is now you have a place to reach in and get what you have need of from the kingdom. I'm looking at you and you're looking at me and I like it, but I just want you to keep listening. But your purse is your access point. I go for my wallet, she goes for her purse, whatever. Whatever comes in, again, remember we read Matthew 6:30, we seek first the kingdom. We go with God's way, his system. And because we have made that our allegiance, we have put that in his kingdom. And now he has jurisdiction over that. And when you are praying about something, you bring Jesus in on that because you've put the kingdom first. Our confidence has been shifted not as much from what we used to do, but what the kingdom has in the principles of the kingdom. The laws that go with that. He's helping us and training you, and I'm trying to help, to get a new mindset in the kingdom of God. So we're providing a purse or an access point to be, okay, let's pray about this. Let's believe for this. I want to sow for this. And so by doing that, we are pulling the kingdom in on that event or whatever that need is, and we need to back it up with scripture. We're not just name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. We're not talking about that. I'm just talking about seeking first the kingdom. If God is putting something on you and he says, I want you to help this person out. I want you to give to this organization. Okay. So we're standing on the word of God and we're doing what he says. It's not wearing out. The kingdom never wears out. Heaven cannot be exhausted. You cannot outgive heaven. Heaven doesn't run out of anything. No thief can come near when we have the kingdom involved. That's awesome to me. No moth can destroy. So when we give to the Lord out of obedience to what he's saying, we're providing a purse for the kingdom of God to be able to meet that need. Does that make sense? Some of you are saying yes. Some of you are going,
I don't know.
And that's okay. I'm just trying to tell you, this is how this works. We'll keep going. We change allegiance. That's why the kingdom gets involved. And he's saying, Jesus is saying, don't be afraid and give. It's a legality. So now I can make a draw on the things that I need, that God has put on my assignment. Okay? Everybody in here, we have a shirt that says, you know, if you've been here, live life on purpose. You have a purpose. God created you on purpose for a purpose. To do that purpose, you have an assignment. To fulfill that assignment, you're going to need God. You're going to need heaven. And when we change allegiance from the world, from the enemy, when you got saved, now you have God and the kingdom of God. Your allegiance is to him. The Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So the system you most trust, if you trust Wall Street and you say, I love God, I'm not saying you don't love God, but I'm just saying if you trust Wall Street more, that's your system. If you have a plan B, okay, let me say this. If I'm believing, look, Lord, I got myself in a, I'm trying to do this and you have these things that you need. You need food. How many needs food? Okay, we need food. We are a nation that, every nation needs food. But I mean, Kim and I, against these principles, and we were like, okay, we need food. Now, if we went to Charlotte's house, she was awesome. Her and Charles would just be, we wouldn't tell them anything. So they would quiz the kids. Do you have Pop-Tarts? No, Grandma, we have no Pop-Tarts. Do you have, you know, no, we don't have it. We don't have no donuts. And so they would send us home with food. And that was awesome. And it's hard to say no when Grandma and Grandpa are like, no, you take it. But there have been times in ministry when we've been gone, we didn't live near Charles and Charlotte, and we didn't have any food. And we had like $15 budget for groceries and four kids. I don't know how she did it. That's probably why she's so thin. I must have ate it all. I don't know. But she, you know, she would do, but we would, we practice this principle. And we would be like, when we got paid, first was to God. Everything first. Seek first the kingdom. I can't tell you, I've lost count of the times we'd come home. I don't know who did it. To this day, I have no idea who did it. There'd be four or five grocery bags lined up on our porch, full of really great food. I mean, not the food club, but like, you know, the name brand stuff. No poop tarts, but Pop Tarts. That was free. But I mean, we'd just be sitting there in amazement. Just like, God, you're just so amazing. And he would do it over and over again. I would go out and I would just, you know, if somebody, anything would happen, I would always give God first. And I'd be out shoveling my walk. And the neighbor lady, you could say, she's just being nice. I'm telling you, it's linked. She'd come over and she said, they weren't even believers. I was just outside. I saw you out here working your little heart out. Because I was shoveling snow. I just gave you not one, but two sausage biscuits. When she'd hand it to me, I'd be like, thank you, Jesus. It was awesome. But what would make, I just saw you out here. Okay, you can say, well, that's coincidence. You can say whatever you want. I'm just saying when I'm shoveling, this is what's going through my mind. Lord, I'm hungry. Because I'm not going to eat my kids' food. You know, I mean, just the kingdom of God has proven itself over and over. So whatever you trust most, that's what shows up. Or lack of what shows up. We can say a lot of things. There's that old phrase, talk is cheap. But it comes right down to it. Let's look at Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one, love the other, or he'll be loyal to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon was just another god, or just basically money. So we'll just call it that right now. You will serve the one, believe it will meet your needs. So whoever you believe is going to meet your needs. If it's just the world, or if it's just, hey, it's my job. you know, that's what happens, and that's what they pay me for doing the job. I get it, but you got to understand, let's just peel that onion back. How'd you get the job? Who gave you the talent? Who gave you the skill? You might not retire at that job, but is it meeting your needs? Is there more? Is there something else God wants you to do? Let me say this too. In the church world, I don't care if you shout and dance and do a jig and act as holy as you want. But if you don't believe in God, there's got to be something behind that. You got to be deeper than just superficial. I'm just shouting because I want people to see me shout. I just raise my hands because people can see if I raise my hands. It's deeper than that. You got to have a relationship that you, like, Lord, I want that kind of relationship. I'm telling you, He's training you. You are in training. We have to pass the money test. Can He test you and can He trust you with money? Money is not your source. God is your source. If we've learned anything, we've learned that. He'll give you ways to get money. That's not the issue because God is life. Not Benjamin Franklin on a $100 bill, but God. God is your source. By giving to God, it puts confidence. Lord, I'm just trusting you. I'm telling you right now, most of our life, we have no other. We have no other plan but God. I have no plan B. I don't. Because if I have a plan B, do you know your plan B is your plan A? I'm going to trust God to help me pay for all these bills, but if He doesn't, I have MasterCard. You might as well just take your card and use it because you're trusting in that card. We believe, Lord, how do we do this? Give us a plan to not have to do that. I want to do your way. I will tell you that giving can be painful. I told you that last week. And when it is really painful, it just shows we need more confidence because then I'm trying to hold on to something that's not really mine. When we're fully persuaded and confident, we give with confident expectation. I expect God to come through. I believe He'll come through. How many are euchre players in here? Dad, you can't raise your hand. You're not a euchre player. No, my dad is we just tease back and forth. My dad's a euchre player, but every time he has a trump, you know what that is, or a card that he's going to win that trick, he takes that card and he goes, boom. Other guys will just be like, just toss it, because you're going to see what it is. If it's a jack or whatever, a bar, you know, you'll see it. Not dad, no, he's bam, and then he'll look at you. That's the kind of confidence I'm talking about. That's the kind when you are believing, hey, I know the kingdom works. I know as long as the earth remains, there's seed time and harvest. I know what the kingdom says. I know that He says, give and it will be given back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I know God told me to do this. Bam! Thank you, Jesus. That's the kind of confidence we need to have in the Lord. What is the money test? Everything that comes to you money-wise, whatever, give God first. It's pretty simple. You don't sow your tithe. Your tithe has already got an assignment. Your tithe is kind of like the fence around your garden. Kind of just helps keep things safe. You can't sow your tithe. I'm just supposed to give it. That's what the Bible says. Where I sow in my offering above my tithe. That's where multiplication happens. And when I speak over it, even over our tithe, we speak over all the money that we give. That's why when we talk about giving, we'll do that here in a few minutes. We speak over it because it separates it into the kingdom of God. We take it out of the kingdom of the earth curse system. We move it into the kingdom of God by our words. Remember, faith is voice activated. So we sow. Money changes zeros, doesn't it, though? $5? Well, I'm going to give 50 cents. That's what I say. That's my grandson back there. But, I mean, and I'm going to tell you exactly, so I'm going to explain this, but, you know, sometimes it's 50 cents. Sometimes it might be $5, could be $50, could be $500, could be $5,000, could be $50,000. I mean, I don't know what comes in, but everybody has a choke point. It's the same process. It just changes. In other words, what do you mean? I'm just saying where all of a sudden it's like, that's tough to give. There's a story of a guy that he had a meager beginning in his business. And he was, you know, what do I do? And he felt the Lord say, I need to tithe off everything comes in. In the beginning, it was really easy. He would just give a little bit here and there as it came in. And it was easy because he'd give the 10% of that, and maybe a little offering. And his business took off because the Lord blessed it. And it got so it got bigger and the zeros changed. And it was harder and harder for him to give. And he struggled with it. And he went to the pastor and said, I mean, I'm making 6-7-figure income. I'm having trouble giving that 10%. What do you recommend I do? He said, well, let's pray that you go back to the way you started in the beginning. And then the business goes, he goes, no, I think I'm good. See, we don't understand because we have that earth mentality of like, this is all we got. I got to get what I can. I can't do. And that's not God's system. So if you get to a point where you're like, I can't do that because I've been there. We sold a car, a truck, a really nice SUV, no rust, mint shape, thousands of dollars. And I had planned to sow 10% of that because that money was coming in. I'm going to give 10%, give a little offering. I'm good to go because legally that's biblical, right? And God said this, I want you to give it all. And I said, get thee behind me. And I fought with it. Why? Because it's my choke point. I just like, God, I've never done, that's a lot. I've never done that. And there's people here today that God has used you and you thought, I would never be able to give like that, but you've done it in the thousands of dollars because you didn't let the enemy choke you. I'm sure he fought you, but you did it. God can't get to you what he wants to until you pass the money test. Some of us were like, oh, I'm going to believe God. This is going to be great. I'm going to have all this money. I'm going to be a millionaire. But what are you doing with the money you have now? How do you steward that money now? If you won't steward it now, you won't steward it then. I'm just telling you. But it happens. This test happens over and over in our life. And giving is so vital to our spiritual health. Remember, when we give, it gives us a purse to access the kingdom for the things to finish the assignment, to supply his way so he can meet your needs, depending on God, not on the earth. So the questions, the power of the measure. How much? Brett, how much do I give? How does this thing work? How do I start? I told you what I've learned. I told you I sow a seed. Not my offering, or not my tithe, but my offering. I speak over it. We release it. I write it down on the day. I have a journal at home that says the day and the time and the amount of what I believe for and the scripture and why I believed it and a place where I can check off when it happens. Why? Because the enemy will come for the word. He'll come to mess with you. And I can say to him like this, it is written. I can give him that Diana Ross, it is written, stop in the name of God. I'm not saying she would say name of God, but you know what I'm saying. So we write it down so that way I can, you know, I had somebody ask me last week, is it okay to pray for the same thing over and over again? I prayed, I sowed, I believed, should I keep praying that, you know, I still need that? And I said, listen, we got to change our mindset. If you believed you received when you pray, a Mark 11:24. You don't have to say, God, I still need. You have to say, God, thank you for that. Because I've already got it. I'm just waiting on it to show up. Because I believed I received when I prayed. Luke 6:38 says, given will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The King James says it this way, says all that given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet it withal shall be measured back to you again. Let me just say this really quick. God has no money, by the way. There's no money in heaven. There's not a money angel or an angel shaking a money tree that's going to send it down that way to you. Now, he could impress somebody to give you funds. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying money is what is operating here in the earth system. God is going to give you ideas and concepts to create wealth. You understand? A poverty mindset looks for it. An entrepreneurial mindset creates it or captures it. Let me explain. You're made in the image of the Creator. We are made in His image. You were made like Him. The enemy doesn't like you because you're made like him. But you can help create your future with God's wisdom and His Spirit inside you by obedience, just doing what He says. You can create wealth. He can give you an idea, a business idea or something, and you're off. Not meaning, you know, it just takes off. I'm going to say this again. The same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The same measure that you use will be measured back to you. So what is the measure? Peter, James, and John, fishing. Jesus needs his boat. Can I get into your boat? Peter says yes. Jesus gets into Peter's boat. Peter is what by trade? He's a fisherman. When Jesus says, can I come into your boat? Peter says, yes. Peter's business, or what Peter is and who he is and who he represents, now is open to Jesus inside that. Can you see that? Because now he's in his boat. Jesus says to him, I'm going to show you where to fish. I'm just paraphrasing. Throw your net over here. Peter says, appreciate that. You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. We fished all night. We haven't caught anything. But then he says this, but if you say, I will. So he throws his net over. The Bible says that he catches so much that the boat starts to sink. James and John are on the shore. If you look at the account, they're on. So he calls to them. They get in their boat. They bring it over. And that boat starts to sink. Let me ask you this. How much faith did the partners have to exercise, James and John? They didn't have any to exercise. But their boat still about sank because they were in partnership with Peter, and Peter had tapped into the kingdom. This is what starts blowing me away. If Peter would have had 1,000 boats, guess how many boats would have been filled almost to sink? 1,000. So stay with me. This is about to get really interesting. So what was the measure? What was under Peter's jurisdiction? The measure is what you give God and what he can fill. Peter had 2 boats. That's what got filled. People say 100-fold return is 100 times whatever. I don't think so. I think 100-fold return is as much as you can hold. Peter, James, and John, the 100-fold return was 2 boats because they didn't have a 3rd boat. They had 2, and they got that filled to capacity. What is legally under your jurisdiction and business, that was brought into the kingdom of God. That's why all that got filled. That was their measure, and it captured what it could hold. So the same measure you give is the same measure you can catch. What can it hold? What could your business hold? Some might say, well, Brett, my business is endless. I don't think so. If you're the only employee and you don't want to get out of bed, you may already be at capacity, if you know what I'm saying. But listen, this isn't easy for me to teach or to say, but for PK and I, and if you're new, PK is Pastor Kim. She's the real beautiful one that's sitting right down there. So, if you're, you know, we're sowing and believing for more growth here at TLC. Now, listen to what I'm saying. We had to change our mindset. We've been functioning at the capacity of where we are right now. And I don't like saying that because that shows, to me, it shows me like I could be better. But I'm just being honest. Changes have to be made. God, what is there something I need to do? What could I do? Give me an idea. Give me a concept that could help. So how does God get involved? People have a free will. I can't make somebody do something. You know, you've heard the boy that says, the teacher said, Billy, sit down. And he didn't want to sit down. She said, you sit down. And he stomped down and he said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. So his heart hadn't changed. We needed to say, okay, God, what? So God can't, he's not going to make you because he gave you a free will. So what does he change? Now, you're not going to like this word, but I want you to listen to me. He changes the way you see things. Or he changes, if you don't like this, you're not going to like this word. He changes the bait. What do you mean? We have a world that's telling them lies. People are just being lied to. Oh, you can be whatever you want to be. You can be a man or a woman. Look down, you'll tell you what you are. That's a lie. I mean, that part I just told you is true. But God made you. He made men or women. But we're being lied to. People want to lie to your children, and they want to lie this, and want to do that. It doesn't mean you can't love people. Please don't misunderstand. What I'm just saying is the Bible is the plumb line. But he's going to change. How do we get the truth where they see it? What's a concept that they would see? How do we love them and let them see the truth? How many knows the truth will set you free? We don't water down the gospel. You already know I don't do that. I just proved that about 5 seconds ago. But he's going to say, listen, just tell them truth, ways to get free, ways that they can say, wow, this works. That's what happened to me. When Pastor Gary was even sharing some of this, I was looking at him. I'm telling you, my face looked like, yeah, okay. And I even told him, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to go and I'm going to try this. And he goes, yeah, you report back to me. I can't wait to hear what happens. I'm like, oh. Okay, but here's what I did. I did believe he was telling me the truth. So in his mind, it was all true. In my mind, I had to be convinced. But I knew that God was a good God, and I knew what the scripture said. But it changed my way of thinking. It changed my life because fruit came from the kingdom, and I hadn't seen it that way before. God, make things more clear to us. I mean, we gave to God when we were like, okay, I don't get, Lord, what? We need this X amount of dollars, but this just came in, so I'd give God first fruit off that. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to pay that. And all of a sudden, I get a return check from an insurance that was the exact amount of the thing I needed to pay. I'm like, what? Shut the front door. How did that just happen? I've told you the stories of I believed for this, and this is what showed up for this deer, and these many points, and this and that. How did that just happen? Why was it that way? Because somehow I've tapped into laws that had spiritual meaning that had to be followed. True Life Church isn't going to change till we conform to the image that God wants us to be. I mean, if I just want to grow this and get numbers, we'll just have chicken every Sunday. Woohoo! I love chicken, but you got to get more past than chicken. We got to give them food for their spirit, food for their soul, food that comes from the Word of God that they can be like, wow, this is almost, woo, did you see this? Let your kids pray over stuff with you. Let them see the answers and show them the kingdom. So when we sow and we believe God, He just gives us new ideas, new concepts to help more people, to show them the love of the Father. Maybe I wasn't showing it enough, and he says, try this, but this is good. Do this, and you'll see great results. Be more relevant. Are you getting it? 2 Kings 4:2, Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Now, that's a story out of 2 Kings. But Elijah, now he represents God in the Old Testament. He's a prophet. But he had to find something under her her jurisdiction, under her house, under her authority, that God could multiply. And that's all she needed. He said, what do you have in your house? 3-7 of that same chapter, he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons and pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons and brought the vessels to her, and she poured. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another one, another vessel. He said to her, there's not another vessel. So then the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt. You and your son should live on the rest. What would have happened if she would have had a bazillion pots? She would have had a bazillion pots of oil. She would have been the oil lady. Kind of slippery, but she'd have been the oil lady. The word would have said she was the wealthiest woman that ever lived, because if she would have got... So this is what I'm saying. What was her measure? Their measure was the number of pots. You get it? Who determined that? She did. By the number she gathered. She gathered more, it would have kept pouring. Maybe she couldn't gather more. Maybe there's no more. What if she would have said, let's just keep going. Let's go. Hey, there's a nearby town 5 miles down the road. Let's go get pots from them. I don't know, but she wasn't ready for it to stop because she asked for another one. And he said, there isn't any more. And then the oil stopped when the pots ran out. Many of us do that. We set the measure at different levels, and that's okay as long as God tells us what the measure is. Remember, the man of God said, go gather pots, not just a few. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this is, I say, who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So you're setting the measure. That's what we do. We think too small. I'm guilty of that. Do you think small? I know I have. I just can't see that happening. I just don't see that. I want to pay, you know, not just little things. And I get it. You got to start where you are. Use what you got. Do what you can. But I want to pay this church mortgage off. You know, we already paid one off. We had two. I want to pay this one off. Not only the church mortgage, I bet you want to pay your house off. Some of you already have. You know, Kim and I want to pay our house off. I mean, we're just like you. Okay, how do we do that? What's the measure? We have to pray the prayer of faith. We have to, okay, God, what is the measure? What do I sow? So when I do that, whatever I'm told, what's the first thing God's going to do? He's going to give me a plan. He's going to tell me, okay, do this. Now, I don't know what the measure is going to be. He might tell you, or he's going to show you the measure. Go get the pots. For me, sow that whole vehicle. I don't want to sow the whole vehicle. He was just quiet. God, you don't really mean that. How about I'll give an extra $10 in offering. He's just quiet because he already said what he wanted. God's going to set the measure. You're going to have to be obedient to follow it. Did you catch that? He's going to show you what to do, tell you what to do, but you have to do it. And it won't be the same every time. I mean, I saw my son sow $2.50 believing God for a 10-point buck. Guess what he has on his wall? A 10-point buck. I told him to sow for a 6-point buck. Guess what came to me? A 6-point buck. But he was like, no, I'm supposed to sow this. I don't know how he knew that. He just felt inside, I have to give all of this. I said, well, where's... He goes, this is what I have. So that's what he gave, and that's what he got. There's a connection between what you give and what God will get back to you, because, listen, what you sow, we just read it in the Word. It's the measure that comes back. So whatever you're believing, he'll help you, and he'll set the measure. You have to understand, okay, God, I hear that. I'll do it. It's not solely, it might not even just solely be on money. So before you, you know, it could be, I need you to go. I need you to give your time. I need you to give your effort. I need you to help these people. I need you to do this. And he might say money. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll say something of your thing. Oh, like he told me, sow this. I had to give a car away, and it's not the first one. We've done that a few times, and I did. He might say a computer. He might say this. He might say money. He might say whatever, because I'm just the steward. I have to listen to what the measure is and then sow the measure he tells me. Are you with me? You can try to tell God what to do. I don't think that'll work out too well for you. Remember the widow that gave two mites? She gave all. Because, you know, there's rich guys there, but she gave more. That's what they said, because of she just gave what she had. It's a combination of the faith you release and your obedience. And you're going to speak over that. And you're going to expect. Man, it's so quiet. But this is so good. You're going to sow something and release it in the kingdom of God for your situation. So how do I sow? How much do I sow? I don't know. What's God telling you? It might be a very small amount because he knows you. It might be something that you're like, maybe it has more zeros than you're used to. And he's like, just trust me. I'm telling you, Kim and I have lived this where I've walked it out and I've thought, I wish I'd have did it different. You ever did that? Like, I'm believing God, so I sowed. I was believing God. God, and I shared this last week. I just want $20. I just need $20 so I can take the kids through the Wendy's dollar drive-through menu. And got out to my car. I didn't tell anybody. And there was a $20 bill stuck on my windshield, on the wiper. And I thought to myself, God, you're so good. Why did I just say 20? There's so many times I'm like, he's proven it over and over again. Let God set the measure and then you confirm it by your obedience, by your relationship with him. It's not always going to be easy. See, what we do as Americans, because we're used to the earth system, we blame God for crop failure and we didn't sow anything. We want to, you know, oh, God, I'm going to give this, but I want this huge amount return. The same measure you sow is measured back to you. The same measure you sow is measured back to you. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow, I'm just telling you what the word says. I'm not saying it's fun all the time, but I am saying living God's way, I'll take that anytime. It's been much better for us. Follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit, because remember, when he gives you a plan and you've already sown, released it, believed, you're in agreement, you've written it down, and you've sown it, act quickly, because when all that happens, the enemy knows what's going on. So you need to just do what the Lord's telling you. Kim and I have done that stuff several times. Sometimes I've lost sleep over the amounts that we've sown. Sometimes we've lost sleep over the amounts that we were supposed to do something and we didn't. And then we've repented. We're supposed to give this or trust God for this, and we weren't there. It was our choke point. So we had to get past that. Our flesh is fickle, isn't it? Our flesh will say one thing, and then when the answer comes in, it'll be like, kind of like Rudolph. I knew that nose was going to be good all along. We always do stuff like that. But don't pay attention to your flesh. Pay attention to the word. You keep sowing the word, meditate on the word, get your thoughts on the kingdom, and your flesh will come in line. Brett, how much do I give? Again, I can't tell you that. There's a whole story. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to just paraphrase it. It's in 1 Kings 17, 9 through 16. They'll put it up there. But Elijah said to this woman, okay, this is what she says. I have bread and only a handful of flour in a bin, a little oil in a jar. I'm gathering a couple of sticks. I'll go prepare it for myself and my son. We may eat it and die. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? And he says, do not be afraid. Where have we heard that before? Because he's about to say something representing God that's going to be contrary to the earth system. He says, bring me water. Now remember, they're in a drought. So he says, bring me some water. and go make a cake for me, bring it to me first, then go do it for your son, just like you said. God is about to give them their answer, and their answer, listen to me, is giving. It's not a popular system back in that day. It's not really popular now. But he's saying, I'm about to tell you the answer. Just calm down. Make a cake for me. Why? What's under your dominion? Bring it to me and then. Everybody say, and then. Make something for yourself. Why did he say, make me a cake first? Remember, Matthew, seek first the kingdom. The scripture always lines up with itself. Now, this is Old Testament, but New Testament always complements it. Seek first the kingdom. Now, I'm just going to tell you this because this is where we're at now. This isn't church playtime because the world is spiraling in a way that's not good. Jesus is coming back. This is life and death stuff. If she does what she's told, life. If she doesn't, death. It's all in this measure of obedience. So when she does what she's told, it changes kingdoms. She listens, she obeys, changes governments. So her answer, if she'll agree to it, is what the prophet said. Okay, I'm going to do what he said. Let God set the measure for you. You be obedient to it. Sometimes it's not fun. It might be something you're like, Lord, that is way past what I was even thinking. Sometimes Kim and I will pray about something to give. Many times we're on the same page. Oh, we're supposed to give $200. Or we're going to give $500 or whatever. Other times, I mean, I was in a service one time and I felt like the Lord said, see that man over there? And he showed me the man, he told me, and he told me what color of shirt. And I looked over and there was a guy over there. He said, I want you to give him $100. I'm like, okay. So I turned over to Kim to tell her, hey, I want to give that man over there $100. And she's got the checkbook out, and she's writing. I said, what are you doing? She said, he told me to. So she was writing a check too. So, you know, part of me is like, But see, here's where I have to know. She hears God just like I hear God. Just like you can hear God. Can't outgive God. The measure that you give is what will be measured back to you. And God just, he just blesses that. I mean, it's just because he's looking to see who he can trust. He wants people that he can trust. Because we're just steward. If he says, I want you to help this ministry, or I want you to help this person, I want you, you know, can he trust you? Because if we do as we're instructed, it multiplies, just like this woman. If she doesn't, she dies. So Elijah's taken care of. And I talked a little bit about it in our huddle. That's God's assignment. You have a purpose. He's going to take care of that assignment. Why are we afraid to give? Because we think that's all we have. That's all we see. We look at their bank book and go, whew. God is saying, do you trust me? Faith, I don't have to see everything. I just have to know, is that what you want me to do? Okay. The woman took care of God's assignment. And the Bible says there was bread for and oil for Elijah, God's assignment, and her family. The lie of the devil is, you can't do that. Don't do that. Don't sow. Don't give. Don't do that. But if she would have listened to that, she'd be dead. What was the measure in her case? Everything. It wasn't a budget issue. This is all I have. Ask God, what's the measure? And then obey it. It isn't always the same each time. But you got to use wisdom. I'm almost finished here. You might be saying, well, God told me to take my entire mortgage payment and sow it. Better make sure it's God. Because my mortgage is due tomorrow. Could be the enemy. You don't hear many preachers telling you that. But you got to know the voice. You got to know what he's telling you. And if he's telling you that, sure, do that. But don't do that if he's not telling you. There's balance. This is a relationship that you have. He's not going to tell you anything that he won't take care of, obviously. But you got to know his voice. the same measure you give, he gives back to you. Jesus talks about this widow in Luke, and he talks about her, the widow from Zarephath. He says that, and they got mad because he's basically saying there wasn't anybody that God could trust but her. And they were ticked. The Pharisees and stuff, they didn't like that. But he's saying, can he trust you? God is looking. She would do whatever he knew that she would obey. So a prophet carries the word of God. God found somebody he could trust. God's assignments are taken care of, and so are you. Elijah was sent to her. I'll say it again. He was sent to her because God knew there was somebody that would listen and take care of him. God will give you the measure. Brett, do I have to do that? Nope. You have a free will. It's your choice. I can't make you. In this facility, we're going to go in phases. And I'm going to explain what we're doing, but we're going to go in phases. I will not make you give. I'm not going to call you if you don't give. Are you listening to me? I know there's people that I've heard horror stories that they had a program, and the people, oh, we signed this, and if they didn't make their pledge, they were called. You didn't make your, you owe. This is a heart thing, okay? I love you. I know what it means to squeeze something out of nothing. You all know what that's been like sometimes if you're like, I don't know how we're going to do that or whatever. But God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Let him set the measure. You be obedient to that. Okay? I'm going to put all this together here right now. The ushers are going to get ready, but I want you to know what we're doing. And we're going to pray. And this is how this... We're not doing the phases on the entryway just yet. That's coming. We've already sent a contract to an architect. We want a new entryway. We want to redo the parking lot. The parking lot hasn't been redone, nor the entryway, since this building was built in the early 90s. The doors on the front are wonderful. We have a pin that locks them. They're wonderful. We're going to redo Kidstown, so that your kids will be like, this is awesome, and we want to bring our friends here, and we're going to learn about the kingdom, and that's going to come at another phase. Our first phase will probably be the entryway and the doors and the parking lot. Right now, everybody say right now. Okay, I got 6 weeks. I'm going to see if I can get 80 people that will say, above my tithe, I could give $25 a week for the next 6 weeks above my tithe. If 80 people do that, if I did my math correctly, and I'll tell you what we're doing so that you know. You want to know? I sure do. Okay, thanks. 80 people, that's in 6 weeks at $25 a week, that's $150. And I mean, and if you're like, I can give that right now, that's up to you. I'm not forcing anybody to do anything. That's a total of 80 people in 6 weeks. That's $12,000. Now, I don't do gimmicks. I'm just giving you math. This is what we're doing. We're building a conference room right inside this for small groups and whatever. Because eventually, as we're growing, I'm going to need an advisory board and different things, and we need all that. So these are needs. So that's going to be inside that. I mean, that room looks pretty cool. They've already started to put up the wall. And you're please, afterwards, you take a look in the kitchen. If you've never seen the kitchen, they've already painted the ceiling black. We're going to get new lights. They're going to paint the walls. The floors are going to be painted like you see out there. Both these restrooms are going to be remodeled. And girls are probably like, thank you, Jesus. We're going to new countertops, new sinks, new mirrors, sconces. Yeah, those. Lights will be in there. The men's won't be that green color anymore, and we'll get some decor that looks great, that'll encourage you and different things like that. We're going to redo a little bit of the front entryway when you come in, because the seal's broken in the glass, and that wall there has got, it leaks. And so we're not going to put a lot of money in that because we're going to redo that whole entryway. So we're just going to facelift that a little bit so it doesn't look so nasty. That's not going to take too much. But just those restrooms, their floors. The stalls will get repainted. Everything will get a facelift. That stuff has all been the same pretty much since the moose was here. We painted the stalls, but we're going to just make it a little more excellent. And we just want you to be happy with, look what God has done. And we're all going to do it debt-free. So, Brett, what are you doing? That's why I'm just saying, I know that $12,000, we'll probably have money left over. But I don't know how much all that's going to cost. We already have people that are ready to, they're going to start next week on that foyer area. And then they're going to be in the next 2 weeks starting in the restrooms or so. So you'll have to pardon our dust, but we'll do everything we can to keep everything up and looking well. So my point is this. I didn't preach this just, I actually didn't know I was going to do this at this time till last week. I'm giving you the measure as far as it's $25. That's what I'm believing 80 people could do. If you want to do more than that, and God says do more than that, if God says to you, I don't want you to do 25, I want you to do 10, then do 10, okay? It's okay. I'm not trying to be God in your life. I'm just trying to be who God wants me to be. Yes? Okay, I want you to feel comfortable, but I want him to stretch you. But we're going to do this thing. And in the next, 6 weeks or so, we're going to be like, this is so cool. God, what else can we do? Then as we get into the holidays, man, we're just going to start helping people. And we're going to do it together. We're going to take territory for the kingdom of God. Set the measure. Obey the measure. Believe you receive when you pray. Speak over it. Let the kingdom come in. And watch the fruit of it. We're going to have testimonies. We're going to put some video ones up there, live testimonies of what the Word of God is doing in people's lives. Okay, stand to your feet.